Say, kids, what time is it?
You wrote yourself?
Send it to Zoom! Send it to Zoom!
A story or a riddle that no one can guess, or something for the barrel that's a sure success.
Well, you write it all down with your name and address,
because you still got to send it to Zoom!
Hmm? Why Zoom Z-O-O-M, Box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134. Send it to Zoom! You got a poem, you got a play, hey, you got to send it to Zoom!
But something on the show or saying something cool that you want to know.
Well, you write it all down, don't you make a mess. And don't forget your name and address.
Include a stamp so we can drop you a card. Then dip your note in the bucket of lard.
Lard's what you use for soap, you dope. You put your note in an envelope.
Then you take your typewriter, pencil, or pen. And if you make a mistake, you gotta do it again.
Right, Zoomsy, double O-M, Box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134, say it to Zoom. Come on, give it a try. We're gonna show you just why. We're gonna teach you the five. On a Zoom, 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 on a Zoom,
on a Zoom, on a Zoom, on a Zoom, on a Zoom, on a Zoom, on a Zoom, on a Zoom, on a Zoom, on a Zoom, on a
Hello and welcome to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. This is episode number 32, and we just heard a selection of clips from two separate LPs based on the popular PBS children's show of the 1970s, Zoom, which has been revamped for the 90s and the zeros in a less funky, less hip fashion. But the tracks that we heard there were theme songs, opening and closing, and the address songs, where to send your cards and letters to the television show Zoom. The first LP we have here is original album of songs and stuff from the award-winning TV show Come On and Zoom from 1974 on A&M Records. That's Herb Alpert's label, Albert and Moss Records, A&M Records. And the other LP was from 1977 on Rounder Records, simply titled Songs from the three-time Emmy Award-winning children's TV show Zoom, Zoom Tunes. And there we go, sounds of a couple different seasons from that television show Zoom. We started off the show today with a funky ditty by J.J. Johnson off the soundtrack to the 1971 United Artists action-packed movie Across 110th Street, titled that track Harlem Clavinet. We're going to listen to a LP right now put out by Radio CJVI Victoria in 1955. Not actually a record, an acetate recording of a show that they would have played on their radio station back when. I played a couple records that they put out on the Generation Exploitation podcast number 10, in which I played nothing but records put out by radio stations or for radio stations. And I played a contest that they had pressed onto acetate, 1966, Radio CJVI, and another one from, I think, 1960, titled Enterprise in Action. And that record that I played before was all about the history of a radiator business in British Columbia, and it was supposed to be a radio drama that you would listen to and get you inspired and enthusiastic about the concepts of capitalism. Well, I found another one recently put out by Radio CJVI. And all of these records are in a very generic sleeve that would have been on the shelf inside the radio station. It says your air check recording of a CJVI broadcast. Generic sleeve that they would slip these acetates into once they were pressed. The one we're going to listen to today is from April 24th, 1955, pressed on acetate. CJVI Victoria, Enterprise in Action, the story of the Carpetorium.
Enterprise in Action. In every stage of history, there is a startling similarity between our present day and the ambitions of days gone by. Men with a purpose have always been the leaders, men who are not afraid to stand up for what they believe is right, and who have the energy to go out and do something about it. Since those days, the emphasis on competition has shifted. Now it is the merchant and the manufacturer who blaze the trails of progress. The modern way to grow is by increasing trade and industry rather than by territorial annexation, which has never been able to prove any subsequent goodwill and growth of normal business. Keep your eye, then, on the efforts of men here in our own province. Each in his own way is a prime example of the democratic principle of enterprise in action.
Well, Bill, I'm off now. I've got to see about some insurance business, removing smoke odor from a house. I expect I'll be tied up all afternoon. You remind Jack that we promised to get Mrs. Edwards' carpet back to her today? Should go out in this afternoon's delivery.
Right, Mr. Carpenter. Say, is there anywhere I can get a hold of you if something important comes up?
No, I don't think so. Just take a message.
Good afternoon. Is Mr. Carpenter in?
Well, no, he's out. Can I help you?
Well, I don't suppose you can. I wanted to see Mr. Carpenter about, well, something personal. When'll he be back, do you know?
Well, it's hard to say. He expected to be gone all afternoon. Would you like to leave your name?
No, I'll wait. Could I sit here?
Sure, yes. But you may have to wait quite a while.
Oh, that's okay. I got nothing better to do.
Well, young man, it's after 5. I close up the office now, so...
Mr. Carpenter will be back here before he goes home.
Yes, but...
I'll just wait for him, then.
Well, I guess that's all. I hope you don't have to wait too long. Good night.
Good night.
Why, it's Harry Brousseau. How are you, Harry?
Fine, Mr. Carpenter. Yourself?
Oh, fine. Very busy, of course.
Well, maybe you can give me a job.
Here, Harry? I thought you were all fixed up in Vancouver.
Yeah, but I wanted to change, so I came over here to Victoria. You know my work, Mr. Carpenter.
Yes, I do. I'll tell you honestly, though, Harry, I've got a full staff here now. I just couldn't say when there'd be an opening for you. How about letting me know where I can get in touch with you if something comes up?
Sort of hard to do. I don't know where I'll be myself. Say, I still got that cleaner I was telling you about a couple of years back.
You have, eh? Say, it's still your own patent.
No, I can't patent it. Or I could, but then what's to stop some other bright guy from going down and finding out what's in it and making a little change here and there and using it himself? No, I'm going to keep it all right up here in my head. It's good stuff.
I believe it is. I wonder. Look, Harry, let's give it a try. I'll give you a job with me, and you use your cleaner on the rugs and Chesterfields we get in. Is it fair enough?
Fair enough. I'll be in tomorrow.
And so, as simply as that, Harry Brousseau went to work for the Carpentorium. He had been in the cleaning business all his life, here, there, and elsewhere, for Brousseau was a restless man. He was also something of a genius, for he'd worked out a cleaning compound of his own that he claimed could do everything. Carpenter, being a level-headed businessman, was inclined to discount about 50% of Brousseau's extravagant praises, but even so, the new compound promised to do a good job. During the 4 years that Carpenter had been running his rug and Chesterfield cleaning establishment, he'd tried out different cleaners with fair results. Ordinary spots came off quite easily, but stubborn stains resisted the usual treatment. Carpenter was never particularly happy when a rug with an ink stain came in to be cleaned, or a Chesterfield sweep with greasy head stains on the back. It grieved him to have to return the carpet or furniture to the owner with only partial success in removing such blemishes, and he put Harry Brousseau to work, making up a batch of his special formula soon after the man started.
Well, what did you mix it in, Harry?
Oh, a big wooden tub will do. Can you get me one?
I think so. I'll try to pick one up this afternoon. Now, is there anything else you'll need? I might as well order it all at the same time.
That's so. Well, say, here, I'll make a list for you. There you are. Let's try it on this carpet. Uh-huh. There are a lot of dirty spots down at one end. Probably where something sticky was spilled and not wiped off right away. Now, the dirt's on solid. We'll dilute it with some water. Not much. And spot paint it first before we go over the whole rug. See that?
Say, it's wonderful. You've hardly dampened the fibers at all.
There's no need to. The dirt's just on the surface, so that's all that's necessary to get wet.
Yeah.
This stuff of mine works so quickly and so safely, you can handle even the worst stains in about half the time.
Say, this stuff of yours, what are we going to call it? We can't go on referring to it as stuff. It ought to have a name. Let's see, something to do with a formula, maybe.
Brousseau's formula. No, I've got it. Formula B.
Formula B. Formula B. Sure. Say, that sounds fine. It's too early to say for sure, but I'm wondering, maybe we've got something here that we could put to work for us outside of the plant.
Sell to other cleaners around town?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. More like selling to hotels, auto courts, and office buildings. Places with lots of different cleaning jobs to do every day. As I say, it's early yet, but we'll have to try it out thoroughly here first before we get offered elsewhere. You might do a little experimenting with various stains and marks with the stuff. I mean, with Formula B and different strengths.
I'll get to work on that right away.
Formula B turned out to be one of the most versatile cleaners Carpenter had ever seen. It worked equally well on lipstick stains on household linen as on children's helter-skelter pencil marks on wallpaper. They found it was safe to use on practically every surface, every fabric, and as a car wash, it was a boon to a busy man. Half a teaspoonful in a bucket of water was all it took, and there was no need to wipe the car down afterward. The next step was to bottle the concentrated formula and promote its sale to various establishments whose rounds of cleaning chores were never ended. First, though, a sample was sent to the University of British Columbia for testing to verify their own belief that Formula B was harmless to ordinary surfaces. Satisfactory reports were returned in due time, and Carpenter started off on his rounds of city hotels, auto courts, and offices. In the meantime, Harry Brousseau's inventive mind seized happily on another aspect of the business.
See Mr. Carpenter around, Harry?
No, he's out.
I got a lady on the phone. Says the carpet we sent back isn't hers. I don't see how that can have happened.
Well, I do. Get the whole story from her and tell her we'll straighten it out right away. A little difficulty while you were out. Lady says we sent her the wrong carpet.
Well, did we?
Yeah. I checked into it and I found it hadn't been properly tagged when I first came in. Frankly speaking, Carp, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often with that system you got here. Look, I worked this out this afternoon. It's a foolproof way to check in rugs or carpets or furniture we accept for cleaning. Here's how it goes.
Yes, that's how it went. Brousseau had that happy knack of looking at things with eyes that saw more than other people's. And back of his eyes was his quick brain, ticking over ways and means of improving the system or product. With the new checking in plan he had thought up, there was absolutely no way in which the rug or Chesterfield could go astray. Then one day, Carpenter approached him about the possibility of building up a rug-dusting machine, similar to one that would have cost $15,000 to land and assemble in Victoria. Brousseau not only built the machine for a substantial saving, he also built in a great many improvements over the original model. The machine can handle any size rug, while firm straps gently slap the soiled carpet, constant streams of water carry off the loosened dust and dirt. These streams of water are so placed that scarcely a drop falls on the carpet, and later, when the carpet is spread out on the cement floor for shampoo treatment with Formula B, the action of the soft rotary nylon brush is so gentle that the water never dampens more than a fraction of an inch in depth. Formula B, Brousseau's compound, does all the cleaning work formerly achieved by hard rubbing and indifferent cleansing agents. In fact, the more Carpenter saw how wonderfully safe and gentle Formula B was on furniture and carpets, the more he felt there was a definite place for it in the home, as well as in the commercial field. However, his attention switched over to another train of thought before he could do much about the idea of marketing Formula B for the housewife. Brousseau, always volatile, always on the go, felt he'd been long enough in Victoria. It was time, he said, to move along.
I don't know. I just got itchy feet, I guess. Victoria's a nice place to settle in, but I'm just not ready to settle yet. Maybe I'm not the settling kind. Anyway, Carpa, I just feel I ought to be on the move again.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, Harry, I won't try to stop you going. You've done a wonderful job for me here. I want you to know that, and I certainly wish you success wherever you happen to light next. Let me know when you're planning on leaving, though. Maybe we can have a bit of a do for you.
Okay, by me. It'll be soon, I guess. I'll head south, probably. See if I can promote the formula across the line.
In due time, Harry Brousseau packed his suitcase and made his way to Florida, where he is at this time. His going left a gap, for he'd been a popular person in the plant, But business soon resumed its normal course, and Carpenter became friendly with Bradshaw Harrison of Duncan through their common interest in show horses. Naturally enough, the two men got to talking about Carpenter's business and Formula B. Harrison thought it was a good idea to market the compound in 8-ounce jars for domestic consumption and urged Carpenter to go ahead with the project. He himself was willing to put some money into the scheme and furthermore offered to help make up a batch of the cleaner. Between the two of them, they constructed a sort of giant mixmaster, a huge wooden vat with mixing paddles. Nowadays, a housewife can buy a jar of the clean-smelling Formula B in almost any Victoria hardware, grocery, and department store. Stores in Calgary and Vancouver carry it as well. They've received mail orders from as far away as Ottawa. From March on, when the spring cleaning urge hits hundreds of housewives simultaneously, the Carpetorium can expect to make up hundreds of gallons of Formula B to use right in the plant and put on store shelves for many other home cleaning jobs. As in many other small concerns, most of the workers can do more than one job. Carruthers Carpenter's energy and initiative in developing and distributing Formula B makes the story of this amazing cleansing agent another prime example of the way our British Columbia firms are carving themselves a firm niche in the business world, all through enterprise in action. The true life story you have heard tonight was prepared in the Victoria studios of CJVI for a group of British Columbia stations as one of a series depicting the growth of free enterprise in our province. Tonight's script was written by B. Lamprecht. Listen at the same time next week when British Columbians for Progress will again present another dramatization of Enterprise in Action. Hold on.
it's just no use.
Jinxie was just standing there, remember? His heart was a-pounding on account of Junior had marched right smack dab into that meese hole. And now everything was so quiet, you could have heard a pin drop. See? Well, there he stood, waiting for his little old boy kitty cat to come back out, or yelp for help or something, anything. He just kept watching that meese hole, waiting for his little old offspring to spring back out. And every second, he got whiter and whiter, and then, all of a sudden, like, Jinx could hear Junior a-coming. Leastways, he hoped it was Junior. And then, sure enough, out in that meese hole comes Junior. And he is just as calm as you please.
Thanks, fellas. I like cheese.
Yep. Derned if and Pixie and Dixie hadn't give Junior some cheese, and he's just chomping away and a-grinning all over.
He likes cheese.
And I guess that was the straw what broke the cat's back, 'cause Jinx just looked his son up and down and then zipped over to that meese hole telling Junior.
Now, don't go away, kiddo. I'll be right back.
Okie dokie, Peter.
And first thing you know, old Jinxie is in a right cozy-like huddle with Pixie and Dixie, just a-whispering away. And you know what they was talking about? Listen.
You mean you want us to beat you up so Jinx Jr. will get mad at us and grow up to be like other cats?
Right. There is nothing that a father won't do for a son.
When do we begin?
Right now, I hope.
And quicker than cornbread soaking up honey, them Mises was back with brooms and rug beaters and, you know, slapping type things, ready for action.
Okay, fellas, give me the works. Ow! Ooh! Ow!
Well, sir, when Junior heard all that screeching and hollering, he took a peek around the corner. And when he saw what was happening, was he pot-boiling mad. And right then, he took off after them Mises. And when them Mises seen him coming with fire in his eye, they took off for their meese hole like buckshot, I can tell you, with Junior right behind him.
You can't do that to my dad.
That's my boy that said that.
Does it hurt, Dad?
Only when I laugh. You go out and play now, son.
Okay, Dad. Those mean little mices.
And just as soon as Junior was out of sight, Pixie and Dixie come out from their meese hole, and they was tired but happy. Everybody had done his duty to make a meese hater out of Jinxie Junior. On account of that's the way they figured it was supposed to be, see?
Thanks, fellas. My strategy worked.
It was fun, Jinxie. Ask us anytime. Feel free.
Well, whilst everybody was sort of, you know, congratulating the other feller, all of a sudden they heard... and rushing over to look out of the window...
Now what? Oh, no!
Yep, that there little old Junior cat was playing with a cat's prize Emmy number one. Yep, a dog. A puppy-like dog. But just goes to show it don't pay to try and make somebody into something he ain't. Because he's still going to be him, regardlessly. You know, I kind of like that there story, don't you? And I got a feeling you're going to like this next story, too. Because Hot Dog Ding My Hide, it's a rip-snorting slam-bang story of the Wild West. And it's for real, too. So listen here and pay attention.
Hey! I was so brought down, but now I feel so good. A fine, fine little girl just moved in my neighborhood. I feel good. Hey, I feel so good. She's the prettiest thing that my eyes have ever seen. I believe she stepped out of a beautiful dream. Until midnight. There's a place across town. Don't open until midnight. We party there. Hey, yeah. Until the broad daylight. Hey! Hey, 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 hey. Hey, hey, hey.
And you're still listening to Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy and the Generation Exploitation podcast on the internet and on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. Not a lot of comedy records thus far today. That's coming up right now. Just to let you know what we just heard. After Our Man and a song called Brought Down, both by TV and the Tribesmen, great Southern Soul from 1966. And before that, we heard a selection from a Colpix LP from 1960 called Huckleberry Hound, the great Kellogg's TV show, the title of the LP. Now, the reason I played those two records back-to-back is because they were both put out by Hanna-Barbera. Most people don't realize that for a short period in the late 60s, Hanna-Barbera had their own record label that put out stuff not just based on their cartoon shows, but also stuff like garage rock groups, like the Five Americans, soul music like we just heard, and lounge music by Louis Prima. Just a wide, wide assortment of stuff put out on the Hanna-Barbera Records label. All of these LPs are highly collectible and very valuable, and the TV and the Tribesman LP we just listened to was titled Barefootin', and the Huckleberry Hound and Pixie and Dixie and Mr. Jinx track that we heard was voiced almost entirely by the great Dawes Butler, although one of the Mises is done by Don Messick. Those two staples basically made up the entire roster of Hanna-Barbera characters for many, many years. Before that, we heard a great soul track by Gladys Knight and the Pips before they were big in the 70s. This was from the early 60s, way before they turned all disco-y. They were a sensational vocal soul group, and the song we heard was written for them by Van McCoy, another guy who had a prolific career as a soul music writer before having great success on his own as a disco star, and his hit, The Hustle. The track we heard here was titled Giving Up. And we started this set with a 1955 acetate from Radio CJVI Victoria titled Enterprise in Action, the story of a carpet cleaning fluid and a company named the Carpetorium.
Seen as a personal loan department of the First City Bank. The banker is speaking.
Okay, who's next? You, sir? Would you sit right down here, please? That's good. Now, what can I do for you, sir?
Man, like I want you to lay some loot on me.
Oh, loot? You mean money. You want to make a loan, do you?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Now, what kind of a loan are you applying for?
Well, Daddy, what kind you pushing?
Well, there's an automobile loan, there's a medical expense loan, and a home improvement loan.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, then you want a home improvement loan. Now, what do you want to do to improve your home?
I want to get my old lady out of it.
Well, I'll just call this a personal loan.
There you go, Clyde.
Well, just fill out this form. Your name?
Lips, Elliot.
No, I want your real name, sir.
My real name? Harold.
Harold Elliot.
No, Lips Harold.
Lips Harold, that is a strange name.
Man, that's why I changed it to Elliot.
Now, let's get some information on your family. Mother?
I sure am.
No, I mean your mother's name.
Thelonious?
Thelonious is a mother?
Daddy, that's the accepted opinion.
Now, wait a minute. Have you been drinking?
No, Nikita. That's one thing about me. I never drink off the job.
What type of work do you do?
I'm a brain surgeon.
A brain surgeon?
Prove it, man. I don't have no license.
Just answer the questions, please. Now, what do you do for a living?
Man, like, I'm a musician. A
musician? Who do you play with?
I play with Jimmy Lunsford.
Jimmy Lunsford? Why, that gentleman passed away many years ago.
He did? No wonder we ain't had a gig in a long time. Man, like I've been blaming it on rock and roll.
Well, don't you think you ought to do something about that?
First thing I'm gonna do is stop asking him for a raise.
You mean to tell me you haven't worked in all this time?
Daddy, I've been sick here.
Sick? Do you have any physical defects?
Well, I wear a hearing aid, but I keep it turned off most of the time.
Then how do you know what people are saying to you?
Daddy, I have an answering service.
Look, I'm a very busy man. I'm afraid I can't give you a loan. You're unreliable. You're unemployed.
Now, look, Cat. All I needed was loot to get my horn out of hock and go to Seattle, Washington, where I have a gig waiting for me with a band.
Well, I don't know. What band?
Jimmy Lunsford.
Jimmy, I told you, he's passed away.
There, too. Mind if I use your phone?
All right, go ahead.
Operator chick. Get me the Bismarck Hotel in Seattle, Washington. Bismarck? Room 212, please. Hello, that you, Jimmy? Say, how you feeling, Daddy? You did?
Man, that's a drag.
There is, in all probability, no more exciting moment or place than a campaign headquarters on election night when the results are pouring in. We take you now to such a place as the campaign manager is addressing the crowd.
People! May I have your attention, please? Sober up, quiet down, please. Thank you. Well, as you know, most of the returns are in, and it's beginning to look as if we've got this thing pretty well in the bag, and that Hank Duncan here is the next governor of the state. Put it there, Hank. Congratulations, fella. You did it. 4. He's a jolly good fellow. He's a jolly good fellow. Hank, I think it'd be better if you didn't sing, fella. Nobody can deny. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it was you people out there who did it. You put this thing across, and as a matter of fact, Hank here does want to say just a few words to you in appreciation for all that you've done. Get your glasses and sit down. As you know, at the last count, we were ahead by 400,000 votes. Put the drink down. Learn the speech. We were ahead by 400,000 votes. What's that? More returns, Charlie. Thank you. Keep them coming in, fella. It's now Hank Duncan by 325,000. Well, they keep going up and down like that. But keep coming in, Charlie. What do you say? Put the drink down. Learn the speech. I want to say this. I want to thank you by committee for the wonderful job you've done. I want to thank the ballot stuffing, the vote-getting committee for the way you got the people down to the polls to vote again and again and again and again. And I know Hank wants to thank you, too. Right, Hank? Right. Whoop. Cut him off. Two more drinks. Cut him clear off. I want to say... More returns? You got more returns? Thank you, Charlie. More returns. He's now Hank Duncan by 250,000 votes. Well, they keep going up and down, you know. Keep them coming in, Charlie. It's all right. Black coffee. Give him black coffee. I want to thank the Slogans Committee for such winning slogans as throw the rafters in, I drank with Hank, and Hank Duncan, the honest man's honest man, never stole a dollar in his life, and of course he hasn't. All he asks is the opportunity. Of course, that's just a little joke. Hold him up. I want to thank personally you fellows down the southern end of the state. The way you handled the southern end of the state was just beautiful. Beautiful job down there. Wonderful, wonderful. More returns? Thank you. More wonderful job in the southern end of the state. It's now Hank Duncan by 510 votes. 510 votes? You made plenty of mistakes in the southern end of the state. Plenty, I come to think of it. Handing out I drank with Hank buttons in a dry county. That's smart? That's not smart. That's not smart. No, that's no good. All right, you all did it. Okay, come on. What are you doing here? All right, here it is, gang. I'm losing my confidence, but I know we did it. Teamwork, we did it. All of us working together. You and Hank and I, all of us hanging together. And the final return, this is it. This is the final return. Get ready for the victory yell. We did it. Remember that word, we. We. You lost. You lost the selection. You all did it. You threw it away. You didn't follow my orders. And I tell you this, booze it up. Give him all he wants. Give him anything to drink he wants. It's all right with me. I drank with Hank. I got Gestunken with Robin Duncan if you want.
But the third servant was afraid to face his master because he had been lazy and had buried his talent. When the master learned what had happened, he had the one talent taken from the lazy servant and given to the first man, saying that he should have used what he had rather than let it stay idle. Because the first servant had used his gifts so well, he was given more of them. And so Jesus taught that those who do not use what has been given them will have it taken away, like the sluggard and the lazy servant. But those who use what God has given them, their money and their time and their abilities, will receive more and more of his gifts. Of the talents may be found in the Bible by turning to the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning at the 14th verse.
Mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Hi, nice people. This is Jimmy Dean. You know, some people are clock watchers. You know the ones I mean. They can't wait till 5 o'clock to get home and relax. But I kind of enjoy singing, and so my work and fun sort of become the same to me. Why don't you join me in a song, okay?
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Then came the day at the bottom of the mine when a timber cracked and men started crying. Miners were praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathed their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
And with all of his strength, he gave a mighty shove. Then a miner yelled out, "There's a light up above," and 20 men scrambled from a would-be grave. Now there's only one left down there to save, Big John. With jacks and timbers, they started back down. Then came that rumble way down in the ground, and as smoke and gas belched out of that mine, everybody knew it was the end of the line for Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Now they never reopened that worthless pit. They just placed a marble stand in front of it. These few words are written on that stand. At the bottom of this mine lies a big, big man. Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Hi there, this is Jimmy Dean. You know, a lot of people feel that show business is all glamour and bright lights. And the truth of the matter is that there's a whole bunch of us that are kind of a bunch of homebodies. And personally, I like to spend as much time with my family as I can, and I make a special effort to get with them on the holidays. Of course, our children, like everybody else, looks forward to old Santa's visit with the presents. But you know something? We've tried to teach them that there's more to giving and getting gifts than new toys and bright, shiny sleds and so on. In keeping with this idea, we use Christmas seals on every card and letter that we send out and on the gifts and packages under the trees. And we make sure that the kids understand that these seals are more than just holiday decorations. We tell them that it's a fight against tuberculosis, emphysema, and other respiratory diseases, and also air pollution, and they work the year round for you. Make a point, will you, of answering your Christmas seal letter, and do it right away. And use Christmas seals generously on every card, gift, and package that you give or send. And now here's a little old ditty to kind of liven up the day.
Okay, I want to thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. We just heard Jimmy Dean, the great country singer, Big Bad John, that version and that monologue at the end from a LP called In the Fight Against Tuberculosis, Emphysema, and Air Pollution, your TB and RD Association presents The Leslie Uggams Show, Side 1, and The Jimmy Dean Show, Side 2, for Christmas Seals, a Christmas Seals promotional LP, two 15-minute transcribed programs for broadcast and public service, yada, yada, yada. We heard the Jimmy Dean side there. Before that, we heard the audio from a religious film strip record that titled Parables from Nature, School Days, 1961. Some nice work on the Hammond organ there. You Jesus freaks. Before that, we heard Don Knotts off his United Artists LP, An Evening With Me, Don Knotts' Campaign Headquarters track. And prior to that, another United Artists LP, which featured another former member of the Steve Allen Players on The Steve Allen Show and The Tonight Show hosted by Steve Allen, Louis Nye, off his LP, Here's Nye in Your Eye. We heard his routine, Hipster at the Bank from 1961. And we started off this set with a great little rock and roll song called Little Black Egg by the Nightcrawlers on the Cap Records LP of the same name. Thanks for listening. That's it for this episode, and I'll talk to you soon.
I'm gonna tell you the way it is, and I'm not gonna be kind or easy. Your whole attitude stinks, I say, and the life you lead is completely empty. You paint your head, your mind is dead. You don't even know what I just said. That's you.
Madge, I want your body.
Harry, get back.
Madge, it's not merely physical.
Harry, you're a beast.
Don't mind me, meet me, I'm in body, and meet cause I'm in body, me.
Madge, I couldn't help it. I doggone it.
What's the ugliest part of your body? What's the ugliest part of your body? Some say your nose, some say your toes. I think it's your mind,
your mind.
I think it's your mind.
All you children are poor, unfortunate victims of systems beyond their control. A plague upon your ignorance, to the great despair of your ugly life.
Where did Annie go when she went to town? Who are all those creeps that she brings around?
All your children are poor, unfortunate victims of